Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, What Makes People Zombies? Okay, Tom, I'm sure most of our listeners are already asking themselves, what are zombies in the workplace?
Well, Bill, that's what Tom Ziegler calls employees that are simply non-engaged in the workplace. They come to work with little enthusiasm and, in fact, pull the rest of the team down. As a matter of fact, studies show that 70% of employees, that's right, 70%, are unengaged in their work. And of that, 18% are actually actively unengaged.
Wow, you're kidding. You know, that's a huge number, Tom. Now, the good news is that this presentation is going to offer lots of practical ways to get employees engaged in their work. The key is finding out what the employees' dreams are and then partnering with them to accomplish those dreams. It's simply another perspective on what Tom Ziegler's dad taught his whole life. You can have everything in life that you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want in life. Tom Ziegler has had the rare privilege of spending his entire life surrounded by world-class leaders, innovators, and motivators. Family dinner included the presence of the world's top motivator, his father, Zig Ziegler. As a result, Tom's arsenal of experience and information is absolutely unparalleled. Tom Ziegler was a key collaborator with his father on Zig Ziegler's 30th book, Born to Win. His first solo title, Choose to Win, published and released in March 2019, expands the Ziegler branding and philosophy to include the secret to winning at life is one good choice at a time. Tom speaks around the world to billion-dollar companies, small business owners, and prestigious academic institutions, including Cambridge and Harvard. Leadership, business, and performance are among Tom's favorite topics. And now, with What Makes People Zombies, here's Tom Ziegler with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Hello, my name is Tom Ziegler. I am the CEO of Ziegler Inc. And if that name sounds familiar, it is probably because you heard my father, Zig Ziegler, who founded the company over 50 years ago and, of course, is was a world-renowned speaker and author, over 45 books in print now. And today I'm going to share with you some things that I learned growing up in that philosophy, the philosophy of you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. And I'm specifically going to be talking about a real problem, a real challenge that we have in the world. You know what? This challenge that I'm talking about, they've literally made full-length motion pictures about. There are a series of books on it. There are TV shows made about it. And it's been estimated with a lot of different financial and economic studies that it impacts the world economy over $1 trillion a year in lost business. And so I want you to think about what could that problem be? Well, I'm going to give you the answer. The answer is really simple. The answer is zombies. Now, I know what you're thinking. Zombies, that's crazy. Well, let me just ask a follow-up question. How many of you have ever worked with a zombie in your own business? And of course, when I talk to business owners and people in business, I'm never talking about the business that you're in now. I'm talking about your previous business. Did you ever work with somebody who barely got there on time every day and, you know, they're checking text and email and social media and they leave early. And when somebody needs a help, that person is suddenly distracted. They can't carry the box. They can't go the extra mile. It's almost like they're serving a sentence in their job and they're doing as little as possible. Well, at Ziegler, I call those people zombies. Now, the technical term for that is they are disengaged. And when you think of someone who's disengaged, and you know, there's been different studies on this, whether it's the Gallup studies or other research that's gone into it. When we think of disengaged people, what at Ziegler we call zombies, the question is, what makes somebody a zombie? Well, here's an idea for you. You know, being a zombie, just like the movies that are kind of crazy, being a zombie is really a brain disease. And so this is what I believe. Zombies don't care because they have no dreams. Why is that? Why don't people have dreams, and why aren't people engaged? Well, I believe there's a disconnect. There's this fundamental thought that what I do on the job has no impact or influence in the things that I get off the job. And you know what? The opposite is actually true, because this is what I've discovered. And tell me if this is true in your own business. Think about where you work now and have worked in the past. Isn't it true that dreams, goals, aspirations, isn't it true that those things, in order to accomplish them, take time and money? And isn't it also true that the better you do at your job, the faster you will achieve your goals and dreams? Because generally, when you do really good at your job, you get recognized. You get a promotion in sales. You might make more commission. No matter what you do, you will either be paid more for what you do when you do it fantastically on a regular basis at the place you work now, or maybe even somewhere else. And so what are we going to do about that? And so what I want to do is kind of lay out the cost, the downside to allowing this kind of what I call this zombie attitude, this lack of engagement. So what is the zombie cure? The zombie cure is quite simply engagement. So what is engagement? Well, let's look at it this way. I want you to imagine that there is a bicycle and it's got 10 seats on it. And according to studies from Gallup, on that 10-seater bicycle, there would actually be 3 people out of 10, 30%, that are engaged. So think of it this way. Only 30% of the U.S. workforce. Now, every year, those numbers change a little bit. Sometimes it might be 28, 29%. Sometimes it might be 31, 32%. But on an annual basis, around 30% are what we call truly engaged. And that means that on a 10-seater bicycle, 3 out of 10 are on the bike pedaling like crazy. Now, if you're like me, have you ever been to a resort or a beach town or a place where they have those 4-seater bicycles that you can rent? You know, they're little trolleys or little small carts, and 4 people get in it, and there's 4 sets of pedals, and everybody's pedaling, and then somebody takes their feet off the pedals, and the next person, and then one person's pedaling, and all of a sudden it gets really heavy. Well, that's literally what happens in a business that has the average level of engagement. So what does an engaged team member look like? An engaged person, an engaged employee. You know what? That is someone who gets there early. They come in and they've got their plan of action. They start implementing. In fact, even before they walk in the door of the business, they might see some trash on the floor or on the ground outside. They'll pick it. They'll stop and pick it up, because they're engaged. If somebody's walking across the room and they're carrying a lot of boxes, they'll jump out of their seat and they'll go help. They'll carry those boxes with them. In a meeting, the engaged person is asking questions. They're taking notes. They're buying into what leadership has. And if they don't understand the message that's being communicated, they'll interject and ask questions. They're always focused on solutions rather than problems. In other words, they understand that the ability for themselves and the group that they work with to win means that they've got to be an active participant. They are there to support others. Getting the task done on time in a great fashion, a high quality, is what they're all about. Now, the challenge is, like I said, the average workplace in the U.S. is just about only 30%. Of people who work are engaged. So I want you to think for a second. Is that something you see in your own organization? Now, one of the things you can do is you can look at the places that you go to get things done. What would you say the engagement level is of your favorite restaurant, or the engagement level of the cable company, or the engagement level of, you know, the post office, or the engagement level of your favorite clothing store. And you can see how it changes and how it varies from place to place. But here's the good news, because today what I want to focus on you with you is how you can create an atmosphere, a culture that will allow engagement to rise and will help you completely understand the cost of ignoring it. According to the Gallup studies, there are 52% in the category of disengaged. And I kind of already explained this category of team member or person, somebody who's working at the organization. And these are the ones who basically are just doing the minimum to get by. They show up, they do their work, they leave, but nothing extra. In a meeting, they're usually sitting on their hands. They're not participating. They may be looking forward, but you can tell just by the way their eyes are that they're not actively participating in what's going on. And so if you imagine the bicycle, we've got three people at the front that are pedaling like crazy. They're the engaged. Now we've got five people, five zombies, if you will, that are disengaged. And the disengaged zombie person is, boy, they're just kind of sleeping through their position. A lot of times it's because, you know what, they're working because it's the only place they could find a job. Or there is no intentional purpose in the position they have. They got it through a referral, through networking. It's not the career that they imagined for themselves. And so because it's not what they'd hoped for, they've kind of settled or given up, and they don't understand that it could be the stepping stone to the career they've always wanted, to be the opportunity that allows them to move into the position that they've always dreamed of. Now, there's another level of zombie, and that's what we call the actively disengaged. And so now we've got this 10-seater bicycle. Three people in your organization or in the average organization are pedaling like crazy. Five people are just sitting on there coasting. But 18%, 18%, two out of 10 are actively disengaged. Now, this is based on tens of thousands of surveys and workplace evaluations. So what is an actively disengaged zombie person? What's an actively disengaged employee? What do they do? Well, they cause resistance. They're in a meeting and leadership is saying, hey, here's the plan. Here's the marketing plan. This is what we're going to do. And the actively disengaged person, in a whisper that you can hear from 100 yards away, they will say, that'll never work. They are what I call in Ziegler language, they're biters. They're infectious. In other words, they have an attitude that, you know what, these people don't know what's going on here. I wonder how many other people I can turn into zombies. They're disruptive. So on the bicycle, imagine two people sitting at the very back of this 10-seater bike, and they're deploying parachutes. They're dragging their feet. They're, you know, hitting the handlebar brakes, and they're slowing it down. So what does all this mean? And by the way, other countries, so if you're listening to this from another part of the world, different countries have different levels of disengagement. I've heard statistics that some countries are over 90% disengaged. So why is this important? Why do we want to, you know, why do we want to convert or move on the people who are actively disengaged or disengaged, the ones that are creating dissent and dragging everybody down? Well, we already talked about it. Financially, it is a huge, huge drain on an organization. Over $1 trillion is what the statistics will show us. So here's some interesting facts that kind of will get you excited, because if you can just have a little change in your organization and get the engagement level up, things will go nuts. Things will start to change. Those companies that are higher on the engagement level, and just imagine, you know, if we went from 30% to 50 to 70 and we started increasing that, engaged companies versus disengaged companies have 22% higher productivity. they have two times the success rate. I mean, a lot of, you know, we know that new companies, startups, it's very difficult to gain traction, to start making a profit, to even survive. If you've got engaged teammates, you got two times the success rate. Now, here's a big one. 41% fewer quality incidents in companies that are engaged. So what does that mean? Well, I want you to think of this. I want you to think of the largest hospital in a city near you, a large city. So I'm coming to you. Ziegler headquarters is in Dallas, Texas, and we have a couple of hospitals. Parkland Hospital is our big public hospital. And I want you to, you know, just think about this. How many babies are born on an annual basis in a hospital like that? So at Parkland, you know what? I'm going to guess 5,000, 10,000. Let's just say 10,000 babies every year are born at this facility. So here's the question. How many babies is it okay for them to drop in the delivery room? How many babies can the doctor drop before they get in trouble? Well, I know you're smiling right now. You can't help it. The answer is zero. It's unacceptable to drop any babies. Well, guess what? When you run a business, when you are on a team, when you're trying to get something done, a quality incident is simply dropping a baby. These are your babies. And if you're a business owner, this should drive you nuts. And why am I talking about this? Disengaged people, disengaged organizations have 41, engaged organizations have 41% fewer quality incidents. That means that the product and materials, they get there on time if your organization's engaged. The paperwork gets completed all the way through. The I's are dotted, the T's are crossed when you've got an engaged group of people. Think about the challenges that you've had in your work and professional life where a little thing was left undone. There is a good chance that the cause of that was a group of disengaged people. So how do we fix it? We change our organization. We grow and develop our organization into an engaged level. Here's another thing that's very, very interesting. Engaged versus disengaged companies. Engaged companies have 25% lower absenteeism and turnover and low turnover industries. I want you to think like professional services, architects and lawyers and consultants and CPAs, and they have engaged companies have 65% lower turnover in the high turnover industries. So think about service companies and fast food and retail and things like that. Now, why is this important to you? Why do I want an engaged environment? Because this is the national average in the U.S., it costs 1.5 times the salary to replace somebody who leaves. Think about that. If I have a disengaged environment, my turnover, my absenteeism is substantially higher, which means I've got more onboarding costs. I've got more development and training costs. I've got all these things that are going up. And so 1.5 times the salary. If you've got somebody on your team who's making $50,000 and they leave, it's going to cost you $75,000 in order to replace that. So you can see if you had 100 people in your organization and you were able to reduce turnover and increase retention just by one or two people a year, you're talking easily in the six figures of what an engaged environment is saving you just in this one area. Now, here's something else that's interesting. When an engaged person, when somebody who's gung-ho, they've got a passion for what they do, when they are suddenly working in an environment with disengaged people, they're the ones who are likely to leave. So what are we doing here? When we don't create the right atmosphere, the right culture, we're actually inducing and encouraging our best people to go somewhere else. And we don't want that. Another thing that's interesting about the studies that we know about is that higher pay is not the answer to engagement. In fact, they did a big survey, a big study on, they went to people who left where they were working voluntarily. In other words, they resigned. There was no reason. There was no employer dissatisfaction in their resignation. And they went to work somewhere else. And they said, why did you leave? And the assumption was that it was going to be because, you know, that they weren't making enough money. The number one reason that people left was lack of personal recognition. In fact, 79% of the people left their jobs for reasons other than money. So what happens when we have an environment of zombies, of a disengaged group of people? The best people leave, and they're not leaving because of the money. So what else is there? So if we know that money's not the answer, what is it that we're going to do? Now, there was a Parade magazine study from a number of years ago, and this one, I love this one. It's you know, they asked people who were making $15 to $20 an hour, and they said, here's a question. Would you rather have a 20% raise, or would you rather have your manager or supervisor fired and get a new one? Now, here's something that's amazing, okay? 35% said, you're fired. Instead of getting a raise, I would rather have my leader, my manager, my supervisor fired and replace them with somebody else. Now, think about this. This is an income level, 15 to 20 bucks an hour, where a 20% raise is a huge amount of money in the way life is lived. I mean, that's the difference between never getting to eat out during the month or maybe being able to eat out once or twice. That's a big raise for people who are making that amount of income. And yet 35% said, man, I'd forget the raise, fire my boss. What does that really mean? Well, here's what I think. I believe, because I've spoken all over the world, part of what I do at Ziegler is I speak to business owners, to leaders, Fortune 500 companies all over the world. And this is what I've noticed, that regardless of education, regardless of income, regardless of language or dialect or even faith, people are pretty much the same, and that is, on the inside, we're all economists. And I bet you're an economist too. And what do I mean by we're all economists? So imagine somebody, doesn't matter their education or experience, when we go to work every day, and all across the world it's the same thing, and we report to somebody, this is the question that we're asking ourselves internally every single day. Is he lifting me up, developing me, and growing me so that I can go to the next level? Or is my boss, is my supervisor holding me down and preventing me from growing? Think about that. Now, as an economist, if my current leader is holding me down and keeping me from growing and developing and learning new opportunities, then it's a good economic risk to say, I'm going to get rid of that supervisor, that boss, and bring in a new one. This is kind of interesting, isn't it? How human behavior actually plays itself out. And when you ask people, did you have a good boss, a good leader, somebody who coaches you and manages, you know, and develops you and helps you grow, they, when it gets right down to it, they're okay if the leader is what's so-and-so tough, that has high expectations. People understand that. In fact, people like that, as long as it's done fairly and with respect, because they know that when somebody helps them stretch, that they perform at a higher level and they learn new things. So now we know, okay, trillions of dollars it's costing us, and you're losing good people because of it. Your quality incidents depend on an engaged team, and the people who are being led by the wrong type of leadership are far more likely to become disengaged. So what is the engagement solution? Here's what I want you to think about. Okay, we've got a group of people on our team, and our goal is to hit our numbers, right? We want to grow by 20% this year. We want to open the new store. We want to put X amount of money on the bottom line. What do we have to do that? Or maybe you're an individual, you are in sales and you're thinking, okay, how can I increase my sales? And so what does that mean? If you've got people around you in the organization, you can actually, in your head right now, you've got people who you work with and you say, oh, they're engaged, they're fired up, they're on top of it. Oh, I hope I don't have to deal with that person. You know, they don't care. They're just kind of a zombie going through the motions. How do we get people who are disengaged to become engaged? Well, here's the first thing. The simple answer is a leader that cares. A leader that cares. Now, we can all lead from the seat that we're in, from the position that we have, whether we are officially the leader with a title or whether we're leading from a position on the team. We can all show the people around us that we care. Now, there's a famous quote, and I'm sure you've heard it, and it's a Zig Ziglar quote. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, that's the quote. I don't know who said that quote originally, but here's what Zig Ziglar added to that. He added two words to the end of that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. So when we're in a leadership position or we're leading from the bench, right? We're leading from with our peers. When they know how much we care about them, then that changes everything. That takes us to the next level. Okay, I want to be that leader. I want to be that business owner. I want to help people go to the next level. How do I do that? Well, it starts with this. Engagement starts with understanding the connection between what people want at work and between their personal and business life. In other words, we got to understand that when people, when they have problems at home, they tend to bring them to work. And when people have problems at work, they tend to take them home. And so as leaders, we've got to understand, we've got to look at our people as the whole person. And so some people are simply struggling at work because home's not a friendly place right now. There's a lot of issues going on. And that means that we've got to embrace and understand and support and help develop people so that they can be more successful, not just in the workplace, but in all areas of life. So how does that happen? Well, leaders that care do three things right. First off is they build their people. What do we mean by building their people? Well, at Ziglar, we teach an approach of balanced success. And what we mean by that is that there are seven areas in life that everybody has. And any goal or aspiration that you have is always going to fall into one of these seven areas. The first one is the mental. This is my mindset. This is my attitude. This is my belief. The second area is the spiritual. And at Ziglar, we say your spiritual area is your character and integrity, your love, your loyalty, your faith. In other words, these are all the values that you have. The third area of life is the physical. This is the physical health that you have, how much you sleep and the food that you eat and the amount of exercise that you get, how you handle stress. The fourth area important to a balanced life is the family. Man, our relationship at home with our spouse and our kids and our in-laws and all the things that go on. And then from there, it's our financial. That's the fifth area. What are we doing financially in our life that's going to take us to the next level? How are we handling the money? How are we making decisions? Do we have a budget? These kind of things. The sixth area is the personal. These are the hobbies, the things that give an individual energy. And of course, the last area, the seventh, is the career. And in a career, that is what we call the economic engine. So you could be an employee, you could be a business owner, you could be an independent contractor, you could be a real estate investor. Whatever it is that you do for your economic engine, that's the seventh area. That's what we call the career. So leaders that care help build their people in all seven of these areas. The second thing is in addition to these core areas in life, they also help their people build winning relationships. The reality is that people aren't educated. They're not taught. They're not developed in school and in the homes that they come from on how to create great relationships wherever they go, whether it's at home or at the workplace. And so as a leader and as somebody who's running an organization, developing a team, a lot of times our people who have relationship communication friction, they've just never been taught how. And the third thing that they've got to do is facilitate dreams and goals. In other words, there has to be a connection between what I'm doing every day on the job and my dreams and goals. And one of the terms that I heard recently is that internal motivation, this is what we want. We want growth motivation. We want internal motivation, not carrot and stick, not purely performance, but mastery or growth motivation. And a lot of that is driven by two things, missional and aspirational objectives, missional and aspirational goals and dreams. So what is missional? Missional simply means that in an organization, everybody buys in. They understand what the business does, what the product or service it delivers, and the impact it has on individuals and their customers. I was working with a client as an executive coach, and this gentleman, fantastic, and he's got a great business. And this is what he said. His business is high-end refrigerating and coolant services. So imagine hospitals and food manufacturers that have big cooling systems. They've got a lot of chemicals, a lot of computer and electrical components, and there's a lot of hazard going on. If you do it wrong, it could destroy the inventory, the equipment could break down, and people's lives are at stake. And so his business does this. They go in and they support hospitals and large manufacturing plants and other companies that need, you know, hotels that need these type of cooling systems. And he said, you know, I just wish my people knew, my technicians, I just wish they believed that what they did matter. And I said, are you kidding me? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, well, if a hospital's cooling system breaks down, what happens? If the refrigeration goes out, what happens? And he goes, well, you know, they could lose the blood supply. There are certain medications that would go bad if they weren't kept at the right temperature. And so I looked at him and I said, so what you're telling me is that lives are at stake on how well as people do the job. And he said, absolutely. And I said, well, let me ask you another question. If the food manufacturing plant, if the cooling system went down and they had to send 100 line workers home, and these are hourly employees, is that manufacturing company going to pay their employees when they're not working? And he said, in most cases, they won't. They'll go home without pay. And I said, well, you know, part of the problem right now is that over 50% of the workforce of the U.S. population is just 2 weeks away from a financial crisis. And so by doing their job right, what they're doing is they're keeping those employees working, which means that that family gets to have Christmas that year. And so I don't know about you, but the reason from a missional perspective, everybody in your organization has an incredible job to do because lives are at stake and Christmas is depending on you guys doing your job. See where we're going here? So if I have people on my team who understand the missional aspects of what we do, and second is aspirational, this is where the leader comes in. In your organization, on your team, you're going to have people, and they all have their own unique goals and dreams that they want to accomplish. Young people might want to be getting out of college debt or buying their first house, or maybe they want to get married. Older people are looking at retirement savings and all that, or maybe funding a vacation or even buying a lake house or something. And so when we tap into and understand the individuals that we work with, what their individual aspirations are, then we can start to paint a picture for them of how working where they are right now, the better they do right here, right now in their job, the faster they get their goal and their dream, the better we serve our clients, the bigger difference we make in society. But here's the challenge. How many people start off in business, in the workplace on average, and they know how to have a strategy for setting goals, a strategy for project management, a strategy for getting things done? And even if they know the strategy and the steps, do they understand the personal benefit to them for doing it and following through? So now we've identified the issue. The issue is we've got a huge engagement problem, not just in a few places, but really across every industry. Only 30% are engaged. We also understand the enormous financial cost of leaving it that way. And we've identified three things that we can do to get our team engaged. So I now want to give you a couple of examples. And just to make it simple, engagement happens when the right person, right, that personal development with the right relationships, now they know how to communicate and relate to those they're working with, has the right motivations. In other words, they have a clearly identified, they've got clarity on their dreams and aspirations, and they have a plan of action when they implement that's going to take them there. This is what we call dream alignment. And dream alignment is a term that I've gotten from the book, The Dream Manager. And it's a great idea. But what it is it says, hey, the company has dreams, right? And a great way to look at a company's dreams is we call them goals, we call them profit numbers, we call them growth objectives, we call them, you know, there's all kinds of things that a company has that we can call a company's dreams. Individuals' dreams, we already talked about a little bit. It's, you know, it's paying off my debt, it's traveling, it's preparing for retirement, it's paying for my kids' wedding that's coming up. That's something I can relate to. And so alignment is when, this is simply what dream alignment means. It maximizes engagement when the better I do at my job, which means fulfilling the company's dreams, the faster I can fulfill my personal dreams. So let's talk about a couple of examples. Lou Holtz is a longtime Ziegler family friend. Of course, he was the coach of Notre Dame, and he was also, he's a leading sports commentator, well-known. And he had just won the national championship. And he was doing the big interview afterwards, and the reporters were there. And one of the reporters asked the ultimate buzzkill question. This reporter said, "Coach Holtz, congratulations. You just won the national championship. But isn't it going to be extremely difficult to repeat next year's national champion because your offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator have both been hired away by your competition?" Now, let me rephrase that in business sense, okay? Let's just say that your business just had a record year, your best year in history that you've ever had. And all of a sudden, your vice president of sales and marketing, your offensive coordinator, and your vice president of operations and finance, your defensive coordinator, have now been hired away from you to work for your competitors. What do you think? Is that exciting to you? Do you get, you know, would that like make you go, "Yes, I did what I was supposed to do"? Would you say that? Or would you say what Lou Holtz's response was? This is what Lou Holtz said to that reporter. He said, "Absolutely not. It's the best thing that could have happened to us. You see, at Notre Dame, and myself and my career, whoever comes to work with me, why do they want to come here? Because we are known, our reputation is we're the place where dreams come true. This is the place where champions come to win championships." And then he went on to say, I have a an office full of resumes, floor to ceiling, of the top assistant coaches in the country, of the top head coaches of smaller colleges in the university who all want to come and be on my team. And the reason they want to come here is because I make them a deal. When they walk through the door and we decide to hire them and they become part of our team, I make them a deal. Here's the deal. I look them in the eye and I say, if you help me win the national championship, I will help you get the head coaching job of your dreams. How cool is that? And then he said this. He said, because we are known, and my team, my coaching staffs are known across the industry as the very best place to work. He said, when we hire these top-notch assistants in, they're bringing innovation and offense and innovation and defense. These are the brightest of the young minds. They know so much. They're even ahead of me in a lot of areas, but what they don't know is the finer points of building a team. And so when they come to work for me, guess what they do? They call on all of the recruits that they've been working on from their previous job, and they say something like this. Hey, I'm going to coach for Coach Holtz at Notre Dame. Do you want to come? And so Coach Holtz basically said, look, because of our reputation, the best and the brightest come to work for us. And when they come, they invite the blue chip players, the top-notch people who they know can help the team. Isn't that the reputation? Isn't that the organization that you want to build? Now, some of you, you know, you may not be in a position of leadership or ownership to make a lot of these decisions, but think about it in your own life of the people that you depend on and whatever work you do to get the job done. What if you made it your goal, like the Ziegler philosophy, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want? What if you make it your goal to understand the needs of those you work with and then you help their dreams come true? Another way to look at this, and I want to give you a mental picture here, is think of Olympic archery, okay? Now, in Olympic archery, there are four or five components that I want you to think about. There is the target, okay? And the target is what the archer is aiming at. And of course, the bullseye of the target is what we want to hit. Now, in archery, there's a bow, and the bow has several components to it. But for this example, I want you to think about the front sight and the back sight, okay? The front sight in this illustration is going to be your company goals. And the back sight is going to be your individual person's goals. And then, of course, the arrow in this illustration, the archer is going to put the arrow in the bullseye. So what is the arrow in this example? The arrow is the solution that you're going to offer your client or prospect. So it could be a product or a service. And so here's the thing. The more center that the arrow is to the bullseye, the less friction, the less issues, the happier the client is. And the archer themselves, that's your worker. That's who's pulling back the bow. Now, how do we hit the bullseye? Well, what we've got to do is we've got to align the front sight, which is the company's goals and objectives, with the back sight, which is my personal goals, dreams, and aspirations. Because if my front side and my back side are not in alignment, there's no way that I can hit the bullseye time after time. And how I release the arrow, how I solve the problem, and the skill that I do that with. Now, in business, we talk about the Ziegler performance formula. And we say that performance is always attitude times effort times skill equals performance. And so when I release the arrow, when I deliver the solution to my customer is always evaluating the attitude, which is my you know, the character that I have, the way I come across, the communication, they're always evaluating that. Then the effort, how fast are we getting it done? Is it timely? Are we hustling? And then the skill, and this is the technique, right? This is, you know, is it done with professionalism? Are all the details handled? Is it exactly the right fit for me? So when I release that arrow with attitude, effort, and skill, and my front side and back side are aligned, then I can hit the bullseye. It's a very, very powerful visual. So how do we get engagement? We've got to support the individual in our organization, right? The right person, the right communication skill, and the right strategy, the right goals, those are the things that happen. So we're developing the person so that the archer themselves, the individual, can release it. And then we've got to have dream alignment. Everybody on our team needs to know exactly what it is that our business does, the value that it brings to the marketplace. And as leaders, we have to help the people on our team understand that we know what their goal is and what it is they want to accomplish. So I want to give you two examples of this as you start to digest what it means in the archery and the target and the front sight and back sight metaphor. I was doing a full day, or it was actually a two-day workshop at a manufacturing company in Canada, and they manufactured steel doors and frames. And their clients were hospitals and schools and government buildings, hotels, any building that would order, say, 50 or more of the same size steel door. So we did goal setting with them on the first day, and we took them through the process, and we gave them some foundational basics on what does it mean to be the right kind of person, balance, success. We went through all that. Then we taught them how to set individual goals, right? How to take a dream or a vision or an idea, growing by 50% or losing 20 pounds, doesn't really matter. And we broke down the steps so that they could go and do that. The second day I was there, I met with individuals one-on-one on their team and individual goals. And then I also met with team leadership on, you know, the division's goals and things like that. So in the morning on the second day, the owners came to me and they said, hey, we've got a problem. We've got this guy. He's worked for us for 10 years. He's 36 years old. And we don't know whether we should promote him to manager or fire him. I said, fire him or promote him? That's kind of like extreme. What do you mean? And they said, well, he's a 36-year-old man, but he's got an 18-year-old brain. And I said, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, he does a great job. In fact, he can receive the inventory. He can set up the line where we do the manufacturing. He can build the door from scratch. He can train anybody there to do it. He's got amazing skills. He's a great teacher. When the doors are done, he can pack them up and crate them up and put them on the truck. And he can even go with the truck and teach the people at the other end how to install the doors. I mean, he is a turnkey guy. So that's why we want to promote him. But the reason we want to fire him is we can't depend on him. Just some days he won't show up. And I go, okay, well, what's his dream? What's his goal, right? So we're going back to this dream alignment, this engagement idea. And they said, we don't know. So we'll go find out. So they go and they talk to him and they come back about 30 minutes later and they go, hey, we know what his dream is. What's his dream? And they said, oh, he wants a motorcycle. And I said, a motorcycle? What do you mean by that? You know, Harley Davidson, you know, all chromed out? And they said, no, he wants a $2,500 used dirt bike. So I want you to think about this for a moment. So here's somebody on their team. He's 36 years old. When he does his work, he does a great job. And his idea of a dream is a $2,500 used dirt bike. That's just not a very big dream. And I said, okay, well, everybody's got to start somewhere, but we can work with that. So I said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put in a plan. We're going to help him get his motorcycle. Now, we're not going to give him the money, okay? But we're going to have him earn it. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to set up a plan, and we're going to say, okay, if for the next 2 weeks you're on time, you do your paperwork, you know, we can depend on you, basically. If you do this every day for the next 2 weeks, we're going to start giving you overtime. And so you're going to make time and a half in the overtime. And then that extra money that you make in overtime, we want you to do payroll deduct, and we want you to set up an account at the bank, and you're going to put that extra money into what we'll call the motorcycle fund. And we're going to do this week after week. And when you get $2,000 into the motorcycle fund, you let us know. And as long as you've fulfilled the obligations, you've been here every day on time, you've done your paperwork, everything's good. When you get to $2,000, we're going to have a party, and we're going to give you a $500 bonus because we want to celebrate you achieving one of your goals, one of your dreams. And they got excited about it. So the owners of the company, they went back to him and they explained the plan. Then they came back to me and they go, "We've got another problem, Tom." And I go, "What's the problem?" And they go, "He doesn't have a bank account. He's worked here for 10 years. He's been taking a physical manual check home, and he's been going to a check casting place for 10 years. So I want you to think about this for a second. Why was this 36-year-old man, why was he having behavior like you would expect out of an 18-year-old? I don't know his situation, but I can tell you probably what happened. He probably comes from a broken home. He never had somebody mentor him, somebody who taught him what money is all about. And therefore, he has no control. And when you have no control out of your life, you make decisions on what feels good, what you want right now, without any understanding of the repercussions of it down the road. And so what did we do? I said, "Look, let's get your accountant with them. Let's get this guy on a budget. Let's get Dave Ramsey material involved. Let's teach him how money works. Let's go down to the bank. Let's help him set up a bank account. Let's give him control over his life." And so my question to you is, how did that individual's relationship change with the place that he'd been working for 10 years? Can you see how all of a sudden, because the leader who cared enough to ask him what he wanted and then ask questions about how are we going to get there to discover the real problem, here's what happens. You want your people to work for a dream and not a paycheck. And when you start to understand what it is that's important to them, and then you start helping them achieve that, then things really get exciting in a business. Here's the reality. All dreams require time and money. Therefore, the better you do in your job, the faster you achieve your dreams. Dream alignment. Remember, we got to have a leader that cares, and it requires the right person, the right relationships, and the right process. And I just want to close off this recording with the story that resonates and explains perfectly what this is. One of the things that we've done through the years is we provide training and education to companies, primarily in the personal development areas, but also in things like leadership and sales. But really, staff level, employee level development is what we're about. One of our programs at that time, called Strategies for Success, had been, or actually it was called See You at the Top, the pre-runner to Strategies for Success, had been deployed inside a hospital. And the hospital was training everybody who worked there, all their employees, in fact, everybody but the doctors. So we had nurses and orderlies and technicians and janitors and kitchen staff. Everybody was going through this program, and they were doing it a couple hours a week for about 12 weeks. And Dr. Bob, who was the chaplain also at the hospital, was teaching it. So one day, Dr. Bob gets on the elevator, and on the elevator is one of the team members. His name was Johnny, and Johnny was the janitor there. And Johnny was smiling and whistling. I mean, he was having a good time. He was having a great day. And Dr. Bob gets on the elevator and he says, "Johnny, why are you so happy?" And Johnny looked at him and he said, Dr. Bob, I'm buying a house on Friday and it's all your fault. And Dr. Bob said, wait a second. I don't know anything about a house. What do you mean you're buying a house? And Johnny said, oh yeah, Dr. Bob, I'm buying a house on Friday and it's all your fault. You see, I'm going to your class and we started it about 6 weeks ago. And on the third week, you started getting into the goal setting. And so we're sitting in there and you're talking about how we can set a goal on anything. It could be about losing weight or you know, taking a vacation or getting a promotion, whatever it is. And I started thinking, you know, Dr. Bob, I've worked here for 20 plus years. Everybody here is like family to me. I love my job. And I started thinking, well, what's a goal that I would want, but I've never thought I could have? And he said, Dr. Bob, I decided to write a goal to buy a house. And he said, that's a big deal because in my family, nobody has ever bought a house. I've always rented. All my family members rent. And I've been renting my whole life. And so the idea of buying a house never occurred to me until you started getting us to dream a little bit. And so I went through the 7-step goal setting process that you were teaching. And I came to understand that really the only obstacle that I didn't know how to handle was I didn't know who to get a loan from. And I'm sitting next to Henry and I say, Henry, you own a house, right? And he said, yeah. He said, well, who did you get your loan from? And so he gave me this contact name down at the bank. And so I called him up. I set an appointment and I took the stuff that they wanted me to bring down there. And they asked me a couple of questions. They said, Johnny, how long have you been working? 20 years. They said, wow, that's great. They said, Johnny, do you have any debt? And Dr. Bob, he said, I don't have any debt. And they said, Johnny, how much do you have for down payment? And I told them my number and they said, wow, you've got way more than 20%. So Dr. Bob, I am moving into my home on Friday and I'm paying less rent and I'm closer to the hospital in a better neighborhood than when I was renting. Dr. Bob, I'm buying a house on Friday and it's all your fault. So let me ask you this. What do you think Johnny's relationship was now with the place that he worked? You see, because the organization said, we want to help you grow. Now, look, this was an unintended positive outcome. They didn't purposely go to the individuals and say, hey, let us help you get your goal. They just equipped them with the goal setting system. And look what happens to that. It's been one of the most powerful presentations that we do because engagement on the surface seems like a very, kind of like a sticky minefield. How do we create engagement? What do we do? And I wanted to boil it down to you. It's very, very simple. Something that you can start right away implementing in your own organization, on your own team, even from where you're sitting, even if you're not in a quote unquote titled position of leadership. The key is a leader that cares. It's the philosophy. You can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. And when you really care about someone, you start to uncover what it is that they aspire to. What are their dreams and goals? And when you're in a position of leadership and you can help someone develop themselves and give them the tools that they can go and get their dream or goal faster, then they will no longer come to work for a paycheck. They will come to work for a dream. I want to wrap it up with that note. The reality is that we all have a choice. The choice is very simple. We can let life happen to us or we can happen to life. In the book, Choose to Win, which I wrote that came out in March of 2019, the subtitle of Choose to Win is you can transform your life one simple choice at a time. As a business owner, as a leader, as someone in a position to influence and impact your people around you, those you love and care about, those who you do life with, one of the greatest choices that you can make is to say, hey, what's important to you? And how can I help you achieve the things in life that you always wanted? Once again, my name is Tom Ziegler. I am the CEO of Ziegler Inc. And it's been my privilege to share this message with you. I hope it benefits you. And I do know this, when you implement this, you will get a benefit beyond your wildest dreams. But that comes when you implement. Take care and use these tools, these ideas, and these concepts to help you achieve your dreams by helping others achieve theirs.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.